We left off in Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page at the Braisa. We're going to finish up our discussion of Dalit Kosos, and that's going to lead us into a conversation about Simchas Yom Tov and how one fulfills Simchas Yom Tov, both Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayim as well as Bizman Hazeh. And then we're going to discuss the exact measurement of a Revius, the amount of wine necessary for Dalit Kosos, how large is a Revius actually. And the Gemara then raises the question of how the Rabban could ever institute a requirement to drink Dalit Kosos if, after all, having things in pairs is considered to be a dangerous thing to do. That's the concept called zugos, that whenever you do something, you should always do it in odd numbers rather than even numbers, that somehow there are mazikin involved when we do things in pairs. And the Gemara is going to have three approaches as to how Chazal could have ever been misakin Dalit Kosos, or two pairs of Kosos. So let's begin with the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, again, four lines from the bottom of Kuf Chesam Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, Hakol Chayavim Barba Kosos Halalu, Echad Anashim Ve'echad Nashim Ve'echad Tinokos. Everybody's Chayav in Dalit Kosos, men, women, and children, the Tanakhama says. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda V'chimato Elas Yesh L'Tinokos B'Yayin. What are children going to do with wine? It's completely ineffective in terms of giving children wine. So what the Rashbam adds is valo pturim min mitzvos. They're pater from mitzvos. So why would you say that that children are obligated in wine? Meaning he's not just asking that wine is totally inappropriate for children, but what do you mean children are chayiv in anything? How could you say children are chayiv in anything? Why would they be chayiv in dalit kosos? We don't say they're chayiv in matzah. We don't say they're chayiv in maror. None of the mitzvos halayla. So Ella, rather, Rabbi, this is not fundamentally the din that we're talking about is not a din in the children themselves being chayiv in a mitzvah. Ella mechalkel and klayus vegozim berav Pesach, that we need the children to participate in the Seder for our mitzvah. It's not that they're being mekayim any sort of mitzvah. So we don't give them dalit kosos. That's not going to be helpful. What we give them is nuts, candies, something that will keep them awake so that they'll be interested in asking questions at the Seder and they'll enhance the experience of the Seder. Amru alav al Rabbi Akiva, so to that effect, they said about Rabbi Akiva, Shay Mechale Klayus Ve'egozim L'Tinokos Be'erev Pesach, Kedei Shal Yishnu V'Yishalu, that Rabbi Akiva also used to give candies to the children on Erev Pesach to keep them awake so that they would ask questions at the Seder. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer, Chotfin Matzos B'Leil Pesachim, B'Shvil Tinokos Shalo Yishnu, that they would grab matzos on the night of the Seder so that the children, again, would not fall asleep. So they would have this practice of grabbing matzos on the night of the Seder. And similarly, Tanya Amro Leval Rabbi Akiva, they said about Rabbi Akiva, Miyamav Lo Omer, Higia Eslamot Bebes HaMedrash, he in all of his days, he would never say that it came time to get up from the Bebes HaMedrash. He was such a masmid. He was always learning in the Beis HaMedrash and would never say that people, and always encourage others to learn in the Beis HaMedrash, and would never say that it's time to get up. Chutz me arve psachim v'erev Yom HaKippurim, except for 2 days out of the year, on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom HaKippurim. Ba'arve psachim bishvil tinokos kedei shel yishnu. When it came to Erev Pesach, it was said that children wouldn't fall asleep. V'erev Yom HaKippurim kedei sheyachilu espineihem. And Erev Yom HaKippurim, in order to feed the children on Erev Yom HaKippurim. Now, on Arve Pesachim, it was to keep the children awake. How does feeding them, how does leaving the Beis Medrash on Erev Pesach allow the children to stay awake later that night for the Seder? So Tosos quotes all of this. If you look in Tosos, Chutz Me'Arve Pesachim, Hachi Garsin Rabbeinu Shmuel, that Rabbeinu Shmuel has this girsa of Chutz Me'Arve Pesachim, that it was on Erev Pesach that he would leave the Beis Medrash to make sure that the children were awake. V'lo Nihira, he says, but it doesn't seem that girsa is correct. Da'atu L'yuchlu Lishon B'lo Aviyem. What, they had to come, so the way Rashbam explains it, is they would go home to put the kids to sleep. So the kids would take a nap during the day. If they took a nap during the day, they'd be able to stay up longer at night. But the children can't go to sleep without their fathers. The mothers are home. Why do the fathers have to be home? Just to make sure the children take a nap. And the second reason that he explains realize that they didn't want to start the Seder too late, so they should come home right away at night. It wouldn't be on Arvei Pesachim, it wouldn't be in the morning. So he says, the kach near the gar is Leile Pesachim. V'yirigilim b'beis ha-medrash Leile Yom Tov. No, they wouldn't get up from the beis ha-medrash in Arvei Pesachim. The girsa should be Leile Pesachim, that they'd go right away in Leile Pesachim as quickly as possible to go home, and that was not always the normal practice. I mean, you would think, of course Leile Pesachim, they'd leave the beis ha-medrash. Every Friday night and Yantif night, you go home and you leave the beis ha-medrash. Who has a Seder at night time? So he says, no, their minag was that they would be in the beis ha-medrash on Leile Yom Tovim. Kedamrin and Maisa B'Shem Natimni, Shloba B'Leile Yom Tov beis ha-medrash, L'machar Matzah Rabbi Ben Bava. One time, Shimon HaTimni didn't go to the beis medrash on Leile Yom Tov, and that was strange. And Rabbi Ben Bava called him out on it. Where were you? Why weren't you in the beis medrash? So you see that their practice was normally to be in the beis medrash on the nights of Yom Tov. But a couple of other issues over here with this machlokas about tinokos, where the Tanakhama says that we'd give them dalet kosos, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, it doesn't make sense to give tinokos dalet kosos. You give them candies. What age children are we talking about? Are we talking about children that are higiyah l'chinuch or children that are lo higiyah l'chinuch? And mimanav shach, if we're talking about children that are higiyah l'chinuch, that are already at the age of chinuch, how could Rabbi Yehuda say not to give them dalet kosos? They're higiyah l'chinuch, so you have to be mechanech them in mitzvahs, you have to do the mitzvah properly. And if we're talking about children that are not higiyah l'chinuch, what's the svar of the Tanakhama? To dafka give them dalet kosos. If someone is not higiyah l'chinuch, we don't make them do any other mitzvahs. So it seems to be machlokes rishonim. The Chidush Rabbeinu David, it says that we're talking that the idea of giving them dalet kosos is midin chinuch, and that's what it sounds like from the Ran on the Rif as well. That the reason for Rabbi Yehuda not giving them dalet kosos is that it's not shayach lechanchem because they don't get with dalet kosos because they don't get simcha with the yayin, so it's not considered derecherus. Meaning the way the Ran understands it is that we're dealing with kids that are higiyah l'chinuch, so the Tanakhama holds dalet kosos you'd give them because that's the mitzvah, and they're higiyah l'chinuch, so you have to be mechanich them in mitzvos. And Rabbi Yehuda would say the mitzvah is dalet kosos derecherus. It's not just dalet kosos, and children don't have derecherus with dalet kosos, so it's useless to give them dalet kosos. So that's how the Ran understands. However, from other Rishonim, it doesn't sound like that, because other Rishonim give specific reasons why the Chachamim are mechayev the tinokos. So it sounds like that was the kasha, meaning that was the issue when you read this Gemara. What are the Chachamim thinking? Why would you be mechayev the tinokos, which implies that really we're dealing with children that are below the age of chinuch, and that's why we wonder why we would be mechayev the tinokos. The Rashbam writes in Dibra Maskel Vechara Tinokos, Dibra Maskel Vechi, that the Chacham were mechayev them because gam heim nigalu. The tinokos were also included in the Geula, and Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no reason to be mechayev them could be because they're pater from mitzvos. We saw that in the Rashbam. In Chidush Rabbeinu David, he asked on the Rashbam that even if they are nigalu, gam him nigalu, what is it shaykh to be mechayev them because of that? They're ketanim. Meaning the fact that they're ketanim, that they're not chayev in mitzvos at all, in general, they're not b'nei chiyuva, it shouldn't matter. When do we say afein ha'yibos ha'neis matters? That's by people who are b'nei chiyuva in mitzvos in general. Women are general chayev in mitzvos. Question is, are they going to be chayev in this particular mitzvah? So we say, okay, mitzvah shazman grama, but afein ha'yibos ha'neis, but someone who's not a bar chiyuva b'chlal to say gam heim nigalu is very difficult. You have a very similar kasha. The Ran in Megillah asks on the Ramban. The Ramban says that he explains the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda over there, that a katan could read the Megillah, because even though katan can't be motzi gadol in any other mitzvah, says the Ramban, by a Megillah they can, because afein ha'ibos ha'neis, they were also included in the Purim miracle. So the Ran says, so what? So they were included in the Purim miracle. That's a reason to be mechayev nashim who are b'nei chiyuva. That's not a reason to be mechayev children who are not b'nei chiyuva at all. So it's the same exact kasha that Rabbi David asks over here, the Ran asks in Maseches Megillah. So that's another issue. We also mentioned over here in the Braisa that one of the practices they would have in order to keep the children awake was chotfin matzos, that they would grab matzos. So what exactly does that mean, they would grab matzos? four different interpretations in Rishonim. Rashi and the Rashbam over here are goris chotfin matzah, and Rashi explains in his first explanation that it means that they would lift the ka'ara so that the children would ask questions when they see that the ka'ara is lifted. The Gemara later on, Kuftes Vav and Bezin, say they were oker the shulchan. And the Gemara says, why are they oker the shulchan? So Amri Dvei Rabbi Yana, Kedishi Akiru Tinokos V'yishalu. Again, also so that the children would ask. So the Chak Yaakov in the Sardis Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, that's how Rashi understands Chotfin Matzos. That Chotfin Matzos is what the Gemara refers to later on of Magbi and Esakara. That it's not about grabbing, it's about lifting. The Rashbam says that some are Goris Mitzvos, and he says exactly what Rashi means, that they were chotfin, they would lift up the ka'ara, but instead of calling it lifting up the matzos, because the ka'ara is mostly not matzos, it's mitzvos. There's matzah, marar, shnei tavshilin. It's representative of all the mitzvos halayla. So it's the word should not even be read chotfin matzos. It should be chotfin mitzvos, to lift up the mitzvos halayla and cause the children to ask questions about all the mitzvos halayla. That is one interpretation of what it means. Rashi, in the second interpretation, as well as the Ravid in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Zayin Halach Gimel, says chotfin means that they would run quickly home so that the children wouldn't fall asleep. So Rashi says that that's mistaver, because right afterwards it quotes how Rabbi Akiva would never say that it was time to get up from the Beis Medrash except for Avri Pesachim and Avri Yom Kippurim, and Avri Pesachim was Bishvil Tinokos Kadesh L'Yishnu, that the children shouldn't fall asleep. So you see that they would start the Seder very quickly so that the kids won't fall asleep. So that's what it means chotfin matzos, that they would start eating as early as possible so that they could keep the kids awake. L'chora, that's a little bit difficult because we eat after it's the whole Haggadah. So there's no sense in keeping them awake further. The whole point is that we want them to ask Manishtana, and that's before the Achila. So to explain Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah writes that it means that we start the Seder right away, because if the children know that it's not going to be that long until they get to eat, they won't fall asleep. Meaning if they see that things are moving along, they're less likely to fall asleep and they'll stay up to say Manishtan. In the Shaar Tzion, on the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes from the Rashbi, that umemarim la ha'achilam, meaning that even though we won't eat until later on, he says, but we give the children to eat a little bit earlier. So we run home to give the kids something to eat right away, and that will keep them awake a little bit longer to ask the Manishtana. So again, that's the second interpretation of what Chotfin Matzos says. Rashbam says that mesalkim esa'ochel me'etinokos, that we remove the food from the children, so that they shouldn't eat too much, because when a person overeats, they fall asleep. It makes a person very tired when they eat too much. That's what it means, chotfin matzos, that as they're about to take their second piece, or whatever it is, their next bit of food, we grab it away from them. We take their plates away early, so that they shouldn't become too tired and eat. However, the Rambam has probably what you would have assumed it meant, based on our minhag. The Rambam, in the 7th parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Halacha Gimel, says, chotfin matzah zeh miyad zeh, that people grab matzos from each other, meaning that's another thing we do that's unusual, is we start ki'ilu play fighting, that we're grabbing matzos, that pashtos from the Rambam sounds like it's not the children stealing the afikomen, it's the adults grabbing matzos back and forth from each other, essentially acting like children often act, and the children will be like, what's going on over here? This is not how adults act, this is how we're supposed to act, and they'll ask the questions. But that is how many of the Achronim see that Rambam as the basis for the idea of the stealing the Afikomen, that it's Chotfin Matzos, that the whole idea is you create a whole game, you create a whole thing that the children could pay attention to, that they'd enjoy and stay awake on the night of the Seder. The Gemara now says, for the Tanur Rabbanan, Chayev Adam L'Sameach Banav B'nei Beis. So now we get into the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So Chayev Adam L'Sameach Banav B'nei Beis. So a regular person has to be M'Sameach, his children and household on Yom Tov. Shenemar V'Samachta B'Chagecha. Because the Pasuk says, V'Samachta B'Chagecha. B'Amem M'Samcham, how is one M'Sameach Banav B'nei Beis? So B'Yayin, you should dafka use Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anashim B'Roi Lahem V'Nashim B'Roi Lahem. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it depends on who you're being M'Sameach. certain things make men happy, other things make women happy. Anashim broilem b'yayin. Wine makes men happy. V'nashim b'may. What makes women happy? Tan Rav Yosef b'bavel b'bigdei tzavonin. V'aretz Yisrael b'bigdei pishtan m'guatzin. In Bavel they would wear colorful clothing. In Eretz Yisrael they would wear fine pressed flax clothing. So whatever the style was, whatever the clothing was that would make people, women in that community happy, that's what you have to do for the mitzvah of Simcha. Tanya Rabbi Yudim Seir Omer, Bizman Shu Beis HaMikdash Kayam Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, the only Simcha, the only way to be Mekanimitz of Simcha was with Basar. Shinemar V'Zavachta Shalom V'Yachalta Shalom V'Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. V'Achshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Ein Simcha El B'Yayin, Shinemar V'Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. That Simcha is primarily fulfilled through Yayin, because the Pasuk says Yayin is Misameach a person. So a number of issues over here as well. Bizman hazeh, is there a mitzvah of simcha bebasar? The Gemara makes it sound like when the Beis HaMikdash was around, that's when there was a mitzvah of simcha bebasar. Nowadays, it's only b'yayin. So Tosa says that when the Gemara says earlier, b'mem esamcham b'yayin, that it's talking about b'yayin b'gadim is dafka when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but when there was a Beis HaMikdash, ain simcha bebasar. So it sounds like it divides neatly. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, men, women, everybody was only with basar. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, so instead we do whatever makes a person happy. There is no objective way, there's no clear standard of what you need to do for simcha. It's whatever makes a person happy. The Rambam, however, in the sixth parak of Hilchos Yom Tov writes, V'ha'anashim ochlin basar v'shosin yayin she'ein simcha l'b'basar v'ein simcha l'b'yayin. He puts it all together. Men eat meat and drink wine because ein simcha l'basar, ein simcha l'b'yayin, and he seems to be talking about v'zman she'ein beis hamikdash kayam. He's saying men eat meat and drink wine. So the Beis Yosef raises the question, and the Brisa, it sounds not that way at all. It sounds that yayin alone is the way we're mekayim the mitzvah of simcha, not basar. Basar is when we had a Beis HaMikdash, but it's no longer the way to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. So this is a discussion in the Achronim, how to understand the Shitas HaRambam. Why? How does the Rambam read our Gemara and still arrive at the conclusion that we're supposed to have meat for Simchas Yom Tov? So the Yam Shel Shlomo Maseches Beitza in the second parak says that when we say b'zman hazeh ein simcha el b'yayin, it does not mean to be mima'et basar. The way that I'm read the Brisa is it's adding an additional option of how to be misameach. That b'zman hazeh, it's not sufficient, not just an additional option, but it's adding more. That it's not sufficient with basar, we need yayin also. Because b'zman shebeis hamikdash, it wasn't just stam basar, it was basar shlamim. And everyone was omer al korban hoseyan, and that itself caused great simcha. They were able to be over Hashem by bringing a korban. So that, together with the eating of meat, which is something that people enjoy very much, was enough for a person to fulfill the proper measure of simcha. Achshav Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, we don't have Basar Shlam, and a person doesn't have the spiritual joy of bringing a korban, so he has to compensate for the lack of spiritual joy by not bringing the korban, by drinking wine instead. But the joy of eating the meat stays in place, that we still have, and that's how the Rama must have read the Gemara. The Bach is mitarets that even though Bizman HaZeh, Ein Simcha B'Yayin, it's not coming to tell us, again, to exclude Basar, and to say that Ein Simcha B'Basar doesn't apply anymore. There's definitely simcha bebasar chulin. It's just trying to tell us, the way the Bach says it is, that our ikar simcha bizmanenu is biyayin. Meaning, basar still makes people happy, and therefore a person should still eat basar bizman hazeh. But what makes a person most happy? So bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, basar made a person happier than yayin made a person. Achshav shein beis hamikdash kayam, yayin makes a person happier than basar makes a person. The Aruch Liner in Maseches Sukkah Daf Membeis Membeis suggests that this is really talui in a machlokes tanaim where we learn the mitzvah of simcha from, the mitzvah of simcha with basar from. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira learns from the pasuk v'zavachta shlom v'yachalta sham v'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. So if that's the case, if that's the source, then it could only be basar shlamim. Anything else is you're not yotzei simcha min haTorah. However, in Chagiga, Dav Chesem Ralph, they quote a brisa that darshins v'samachta b'chagecha l'rabos kol mine smachos l'simcha. So Rav Ashi explains over there that the limud is from the word v'samachta. Sounds like anything that brings about simcha, but not ofos menachos where there's no simcha. Basar behema, we find that it's, that simcha is associated with basar behema. So it sounds like any basar behema, even basar chulin, that it's not only a din in karbanos. So that could be two deos in tanaim, whether it's dafka got to be basar of a karban or any basar would be enough to bring about simcha. Now the mitzvah of simcha bezmanenu, is it a mitzvah daraisa or is it a mitzvah midrabanan? Meaning when the Beis Hamikdash was around, we had basar of a karban, so that's certainly a kiyum of the mitzvah daraisa. Tosfos Amorei Katan writes that midaraisa, that's the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, with basar of a karban bezmanenu, our entire mitzvah of simchas yom tov is only a din midrabanan. However, the Shagas Aryeh is medayik from the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Yom Tov that all simcha, even bezmanenu, is min haTorah, and he says it sounds that way from the Ran in Maseches Sukkah as well. However, the our Gemara is a little bit of a challenge. Bezman Shabbos Mishkayim Ein Simcha Basar, or the Gemara Chagiga Shalosh Mitzvos Nistavu Yisrael Baalosim LeRegel Riya VeChagiga VeSimcha. So it talks about the mitzvah of Simcha in the context of being Ol LeRegel, bring Shalmei Simcha. So how could the Rambam and the Ran say that other Minei Simcha are also included in that mitzvah? So the Shagas Aryeh explains that the Svara is that the mitzvah of Simcha is not a mitzvah that has very exact definitions, parameters, gedarim, how to be mesameach, with what does one need to be mesameach, like all other mitzvahs that you have, you know, you have to take a lulav dafka, and you have to take an esrog. No, it's a mitzvah that's in the heart, it's a mitzvah to be mesameach, that a person has to be, has to add whatever simcha you can, with whatever works for him. Anashim b'ray lehem, v'nashim b'ray lehem, ha'ashir l'fi ashro, and ha'ani based on whatever Hashem allows him to. So he says, based on that, because it says b'ferish, simcha by achila shlamim v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta shlamim v'samachta, so we see that there is simcha when you eat pasach shlamim. So we say if you could do that, then vada yechayev to, because that's the ultimate simcha. But still, the nature of the mitzvah is not a karban. The nature of the mitzvah is an emotion. It's a sense of joy with the yom tov. So that happens whether we have the karban or whether we don't have the karban. Now we made mention in the Gemara of women wearing clothing for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov. So the implication of the Gemara is that there is some sort of chiyuv of Simchas Yom Tov for women as well. But that's actually a discussion. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has Machlokas Abayin and Rabbi Zeira, what the nature of the chiyuv simcha of a woman is on Yom Tov. Is it that the Torah was mechayev her in simcha the same way the Torah is mechayev men in simcha? Or is it no? The Torah is mechayev a man to be mesameach his wife. But it's not a din that a woman is chayev in simcha per se. It's a din that a man has to be mesameach his wife on Yom Tov. So the Gemara in Kiddushin on the Dalar and Beis, the Gemara quotes only Abaye, who holds that there's no mitzvah, it's not her own mitzvah, it's on her husband to be mesameach her. But then later on, in Daf Lamed Hey, it quotes an idea that women are also chayiv in simcha. So the Rambam in the first part of Hilchos Chagiga writes, Hasimcha amur b'regalim, hi sheyakrav shlamim, v'nashim chayavos b'mitzvah zu, that the women are also chayiv in this mitzvah of simcha. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying that it's a fundamental chiyuv on the women themselves, that they have their own personal chiyuv in simcha. But the Ravid says that lo b'karbon el b'simcha shatismach imbala shatali imo b'hu yisameach osa. So the Ravid is masik on the Rambam. No, the husband is supposed to be mesameach the wife. So Kesmish explains, what's his hasaga? His hasaga is that the Ravid is saying that we should paskin that since according to Abaye there is no personal simcha on her, it's only that the husband should be mesameach her. So the Rambam should have said that. And that's what the Ravid's hasaga is, that that's really the nature of the mitzvah of simcha. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the very first tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a brief tshuva with a long hashmata at the end. The Rav Shacht always says when he quotes this tshuva, Rabbi Kiva Eger, that if you're writing a sefer of Shabbos tshuvas, you would think you'd put your biggest knockout tshuva in the first tshuva. You'd have something really impressive at first. First tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eger is someone said that we forgot Yalav Yava once at a meal, and the Zayda who was there, who was a Rav, said that the women should repeat benching also, that if they forgot Yalav Yava at a Yantif meal, that they should also repeat benching. So what's the halachas? Rabbi Kiva Eger said he's wrong. It's not correct. Women are not chayiv to repeat benching. So that's like the whole tshuva. And then in the back, he adds a whole hashmata. But what if it was lal haseder, and then they're chayiv, is the chayiv of matzah that they have, is that enough to say that they're going to be required in the Alev Yavo, that they're going to have to repeat the benching, because they had to have the suda no matter what? And he has a whole long discussion in the hashmata. But the tshuva is actually a pretty straightforward tshuva. So in the hashmata, to that tshuva, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this has nothing to do with whether women are chayiv and simcha. I mean, what's the rule about repeating Yalav Yavo? You repeat Yalav Yavo if you had to wash. If there was a chiv that you had to wash for that meal, so then when you forget Yalav Yavo in that meal, you repeat benching for Yalav Yavo. So on Rosh Chodesh, if a person doesn't say Yalav Yavo, you don't repeat benching. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, should it be telling whether women are chayiv in mitzvah of simcha? Meaning if they're chayiv in mitzvah of simcha, then they need to have a meal. If they're not chayiv in mitzvah of simcha, they don't need to have a meal. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says it has nothing to do with it. Because the mitzvah of simcha is never mechayiv lechem. The mitzvah of simcha is mechayiv basar. Lechem is a din of kavod. So he says that's why on Shabbos there's no din of on Shabbos there's a din of dafki eating bread, because on Shabbos we have a din of kavod. We may not have a din of simcha on Shabbos, but there's a din of kavod on Shabbos. So there may not be a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos, but there's definitely a mitzvah to eat bread on Shabbos. That's fundamental nature of the day is somewhat different. When the Gemara talks about clothing over here, so the Am Shul Shlomo says that mikan muchach, the fact that the Gemara highlights the idea of clothing specifically on Yom Tov, that you have to have nicer clothing on Yom Tov than you have to have on Shabbos. That the clothing for Yom Tov should be better than the clothing on Shabbos. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch passes in Tav Kuf Chav Tes, that Big Day Yom Tov should be nicer than Big Day Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, because Yom Tov, the Chiyuv is Simcha. By Shabbos, it's not a chiyuv of simcha, it's a chiyuv of kavod. So what kind of clothing is an expression of kavod versus what kind of clothing is an expression of simcha is a difference. A person has simcha in a higher level clothing than one would have, than one would just be able to express kavod with. The interesting thing is that the Ramah in Siman Tav Ayin Aleph says that there's a mitzvah lirchutz l'galeach berev yom tov, v'lilvosh l'kavod yom tov begadim yafim, kimo b'shabbos. The Ramah says that on Yantif you should bathe and you should shave before Yantif, and you should wear clothing on Yantif like you wear on Shabbos. Nice clothing like you wear on Shabbos. So the Ramah, when the Shulchan Aruch says that you should have nicer clothing on Yantif than you say on Shabbos, Ramah keeps his mouth shut, doesn't say anything. Doesn't make any asaga, say, what do you mean? It's supposed to be the same. But then the Ramah says independently that the clothing of Yantif should be just like the clothing of Shabbos. So why did the Ramah not argue on the Shulchan Aruch when the Shulchan Aruch said otherwise, that Yantif clothing should be nicer? So that, a whole group of come up with different approaches that what the Ramah meant to say. Did the Ramah perhaps mean to say that in some other way the Yom Tov clothing should be like Shabbos? Maybe in the fact that you're supposed to put it on before Yom Tov or Shabbos starts, when you wear it. Maybe that's what he meant. Yeah. Well, the assumption, the Marshal is Medayik from here. There's Yerushalmi also that seems to be pretty explicit that the Beis Yosef seems to be Medayik from. But still, even so, the idea that clothing brings simcha, meaning it happens to be that it brings more simcha for women than it does for men, but if clothing brings simcha, you know, there are other sources as well. The mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is also a discussion, does it apply in Chol HaMoed? So in a certain sense, it has to apply in Chol HaMoed, because that's why there's no Avelus on Yom Tov, and there's no Avelus on Chol HaMoed either. So Pashto says it does apply on Chol HaMoed, the mitzvah of Simcha. However, what about Ein Simcha L'Bebasa, Ein Simcha L'Beyayin? So the Mishnah in Sukkah says, in Daf Mem Chesam Rav, HaHalo V'Simcha Shmona, that you have Halo and Simcha for all 8 days. So it sounds Alpi Pshuto, that just like you have to say Halo all 8 days of Chag, so too you have Basra Yayin all of the 8 days of Chag. So it would seem that Chol HaMoed Sukkah, Chol HaMoed Pesach is the same. However, when it comes to Sukkot, we know that there is a difference between, in Hallel at least, between Sukkot and Pesach. In Hallel, we have a new chiv each and every day of Sukkot, but not in Pesach. The Gemara in Erechin says in Daf Yud that by Chag we say Hallel every day, by Pesach we don't. It's only a Chatzi Hallel after the first days of Pesach, because by Sukkot it's Chalukin B'Karbon Oseihem. So is that idea that Chalukin B'Karbon Oseihem, is that just a din in dine karbanos, or is that indicative of the fundamental nature of the day? And in Pesach it's one long Yom Tov, so maybe one din of Simcha at the beginning is enough. And Sukkot is each and every day is a different Yom Tov. So Shachta talks about this in Big Fat Zone in Siman Tes Vav, where he tries to show, he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, that the way the Torah describes the days of Sukkot, by Yom HaSheni u'by Yom HaShlishi, each Pasha starts out with a description of this day and that day and the next day. Mashen came by Pesach. There's one Kedusha HaYom, and that's why it tells us about the Karban Musaf, and it says Kachatasa liyom shivas yamim. That's what you do for 7 days. So it sounds like it's all a single unit of 7 days. So maybe that Huadin, when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, that Basar v'yayin on Yom Tov HaRishon might be enough for Pesach. Whereas on Sukkot, you would need a new simcha each and every day, including each and every day in Chol HaMoed. And he writes, Lupela shalom reisi lemachabim shechilku b'zeh. He said, I've never seen anyone make this ha'ara, but it's a pella. L'chor, it's a very, very strong ha'ara. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, so now we're going to discuss the Shir of Ravias. Kasta de Marisa, David Bitzupure, he havas kimin luga de mikdasha. The kli that they would use for fish brine in Sipore, for fish, measuring fish fats in Sipore, is the same size as the lug they would use in the Beis HaMikdash. Ubam Misharon Raviyas Shal Pesach. And you want to figure out what a Raviyas HaLug is, so we don't have the lug of the Beis HaMikdash Bisman Hazeh anymore, but we still have the fish fat kli. So just use that kli and you'll figure out what a lug is. Am Rabbi Yochanan, and what a Raviyas HaLug is. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Timnyasa Kadamyasa, Tava B'Tveria, Havis Yaseira Al Dar Riva. There was another kli that they had in Tveria that was it was 25% larger. Ubam Misharon Raviyas Shal Pesach. And they would use that to measure the Raviyas Shal Pesach. Amrav Chisra, Raviyas Shal Torah, in order to measure a Raviyas, if you don't have any of these kelim, you just want to know how large is a Raviyas, so you should know, Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim, Birom Etzba'ayim v'chatzi Etzba v'chomesh Etzba. If you have a kli that is that measures 2 etzba'os by 2 etzba'os with a height of 2.7 etzba'os, and whatever amount of liquid such a kli could hold, that's a Raviyas. That's the definition of a Raviyas. Kidetanya, v'rachatz b'mayim is called Basaro. And it comes out, and the Gemara is going to show that we arrive at this measurement based on a brisa that describes how large a mikveh should be. That that you're supposed to, the mikveh should be large enough that a person should be able to wash his entire body in the mikveh at one time. B'mayim b'may mikveh, as kol b'saro mayim shekol gufa ol behen, that it has to be water that a person's entire body could fit into. V'kama hein, how much is that? Amal ama b'rom shalosh amos. One ama by one ama, with a height of 3 amos. V'shiru chacham, shir mei mikveh, 40 sa'ah. And the Chacham said, that's 40 sa'ah. So if it's 40 sa'ah, the Rashbam does all the calculations over here, but if it's in Rashi also, if it's 40 sa'ah for one ama by one ama, by 3 amos of height, then when you do the math, and you whittle down to a kli that's 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos by 2.7 etzbos, it will come out to exactly Raviyas HaLug. So trust us. That's how the calculations come out. So not everyone trusts them, and some people actually try to do the calculations. So Nadbi Yehuda tried to do the calculations based on the etzbaos, and he tried to do calculations based on water displacement with the Kazayas and Kebetza, based on other Gemaras that describe the shear of a Raviyas, and he came out with a massive discrepancy, almost double in terms of measuring the shear of a Kazayas by using his etzbaos and by using the other measurements of Chazal, and that's where he came up with a massive chumra. He says, how could it be that there's such a discrepancy? So he says, it's not mistavir that people's hands change sizes. People are probably the same size, but kezesim could have changed. It could be that the size of an olive changed a lot over the course of time. Maybe we figured out how to we don't grow it as well anymore. They used to figure out how to grow it much better, and they would grow it to much larger size. So our kezayis is not really a kezayis. It's really only about a half a kezayis, and that's where all the chumra started, with how large a kezayis can be. That kezayis is much, much larger than an olive. That's why you look in those kezayis books and they say, how many olives do you have to eat in order to equal a kezayis? Like three large olives is a pesach, and it looks funny that to say something like that. But it is a little bit funny. But the Nadav Yehuda has that chumrah. That's the very strange comment that Tshuva Me'ava says about the Nadav Yehuda, that he says, of course his fingers didn't work. He was a very, very large man, so he had very fat fingers, and that's why it didn't work. As if the Nadav Yehuda couldn't figure out that he was a larger person than other people, he probably would have figured that out on his own. He probably used other people's fingers if he was such a large man. Okay, anyway, so that's the size of a mikvah, and based on the size of a mikvah, we figure out the size of a revius. Now, Barom Shalosh Amos, Tosos over here, as well as in a few other places in Shas, says, wait a second, how tall is do we assume the average person is? We say that the mikvah has to be amva and amva barom shalosh amos of water to equal 40 sa'as. Says Tosfos, even though we say that a person's height, komas adam is shalosh amos, that only means until the shoulder. The average person is 3 amos till the shoulder. It really, if you think about it, the amma is from the elbow to the top of the middle finger. That's the height of the amma. An average person is more than 3 times his the height of an average person, more than 3 times from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger. So the Tosa says, not using that raya as primary raya, using other rayas. Tosa elsewhere brings rayas from other Gemaras that the height of a person in Shalosh Amos is only up until the shoulder. For instance, the raya from the sugya at the very beginning of Maseches Bava Basra, the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Bava Basra says that there's a concept called hezek ri'iya, that you shouldn't be able to see into your neighbor's field, so two neighbors can force each other to chip in to pay for a fence that divides their fields, that they shouldn't be able to look at each other. They should have some sense of privacy. How high does the fence have to be? Says the Gemara in Mishnah, 4 amos high. Well, if a person is only 3 amos high, why does the fence have to be 4 amos high? You're not going to see, if it's to the height of a person's head, you're not going to see over it anyway. So it says to us to see from there that no, it's the height of the shoulder is 3 amos high, but a person's 4 amos. What do we do about this Gemara? The mikvah has to fit a person in entirely at a single time. And how's the mikvah going to fit a person if it's only 3 amos tall? So it says to us, that's water displacement. The person, it's 3 amos tall before the person goes in. Once the person goes in, the water goes up. So if it's up to shoulder height and the person goes in the mikvah, so but the mass of the person himself will cause the water to go up and it will go right above the person's head, and you'll have amma by an amma by 3 amos. They also discuss exactly the measurement of an amma by an amma. Is that precise, that a person is precisely an amma by an amma? We have this comes up in Maseches Erev, and it comes up in Bava Basra. The Gemara discusses the size of a tomb where they would bury somebody being an amma by an amma, but somehow they fit the aron in there also. Tosa says that they would have an aron, they wouldn't just stick the body in, and somehow that also fit inside the tomb. So maybe a person's a little smaller than an amma by an amma. It comes up in Maseches Sukkah. We talk about the minimum size of a sukkah is to fit a person, whether it needs to be 7 by 7 tfachim to fit his table also, or just vav al vav tfachim, which is an amma by an amma, just to fit the person. Okay. The Gemara then makes Kamdam Ravashi, Amarli Ravin Barchinna, Shulchan Shal Migdash Shal Prakam Hava. The Shulchan that they had in the base of Migdash must have been made up of different pieces that could be taken apart. Disal Kadaita Chaduke Hava Mehadek, because if it was one attached piece, the shulchan measured one amma, so how could you fit it in a mikvah that was exactly one amma? So it says my kushya, Dilma b'yam sha'asa Shlomo have a matbilei. Maybe they were tovel not in a mikvah in the base of Mikdash, but in the yam sha'asa Shlomo. In the yam shal Shlomo was much larger than that, so they could fit larger kelim. The Tanya Rebbechi yam sha'asa Shlomo maksik me'a v'chamisha mikvah tara. The yam shal Shlomo fit 150 different mikvahos, so it was a very, very large area, a very large pool that could fit in it. The Mishnah said everyone needs to have dal kosos, no matter how poor, and even if you have to collect the money from tzedakah. How could Chazal make a takana that we're supposed to have dal kosos? I thought we're not supposed to do things in pairs, because when you do things in pairs, it's considered to be a sakana. So the Gemara has three answers. That it's a lel shimurim, Shimurim. This is a night that we're protected from Mazikin. So anything that we would normally be concerned about that is going to be bad luck or the Mazikin would come and hurt us and harm us in some way, you don't have to worry about it on the night of the Seder. Kaf Chaim says you don't even say a mapil on the night of the Seder because you don't have to worry about anything. Mishmura says no, you say a mapil. You just don't say all the other psukim of Shemira on the night of the Seder that we're protected on the night of the Seder. We don't have to worry about Mazikin. Rava Amar, a second answer. Kol shel bracha mitztarif l'tova, veinu mitztarif l'ra'a. The kol shel bracha of Birchas Hamazon doesn't count toward the four because since it's a kol shel bracha, it's only mitztarif for good. It can't have any negative impact. It can only have a positive impact. This is quoted by the Nodib Yehuda in his tshuva about the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. When the Nodib Yehuda was asked about someone marrying a girl whose father has the same name as the chassid, so the tzava Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says not to do that. So Nodib Yehuda has a long discussion on the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. The case that he was asked about was where the Chassid's name was changed due to illness, and his new name is the name of the future father-in-law. So the Nodib Yehuda first goes through why you don't have to listen to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's Tzava, and that it was only for his children, and that half the things in the Tzava are against the Gemara, and he goes on and on about the Tzava. But then he says, but anyway, even if you do listen to the Tzava, if the name was changed as a bracha, it can't be mitztarif l'ra. Psachim kuf tesam beis. Something that's there, dafka for a bracha, can't be mitztarif l'ra. Just like koshel bracha, can't be mitztarif l'ra. And the third approach, Ravina Omar, arba kasi takin rabbanu derecherus, kol chad v'chad mitzvah v'apei nafshihi. These aren't four kosos. These are an individual kos happening four times. Each one is an individual separate kos, and each one has its own mitzvah that connects to it, so we don't view them as pairs. We view them as four distinct individual cups. Okay, we'll stop there.